Good morning, family. It's wonderful to be here. It's been a couple of weeks, actually been 3 weeks since I've last seen all these beautiful faces. So how many of you believe that the Lord can touch your heart today and can speak to you? How many of you believe it? You see, it's not really the issue. Can he do it? The real question is, does he want to do it? And the answer to that question is he wants to. He can. But it's more than that for him. He wants to touch your heart. And so I pray that this morning you will see that side of his heart. And I was thinking Father's Day. I was thinking about Joe, probably thinking Father's Day, speaking about the Father. I'm going to surprise you. No, I am going to speak about the Father. But just a little bit though. And share some of the stories that we've experienced just in some of the nations that we've ministered into. And I'll take about 15 minutes of that and 15 minutes just sharing something on my heart. And hopefully we'll go into a time of just ministering unto the Lord and really touch his heart this morning. You know that Satan hates the image of the Father. He hates the image of the Father with everything in him. And that's one thing you see in every nation we go to minister. You see broken fathers. It's what it is. And so I pray that the Lord will restore the image of the Father in our times. Where's Delia? Can you go? Are they getting you a chair? What's happening there? I was looking at Nick there lying next to the fire, and I don't know why, but I envision like a Greek sculpture of him. But I kept the clothes on. Yeah, sorry, I had to. Because I was feeling it, you know. Maybe just for a moment, let's just settle in. Let's just close our eyes and just slow down and let's become aware of the presence of Jesus. We invite your presence, Lord. We want it. And all I want is your presence. All I want is your presence. All I want is your presence. All I want is you. And all I want is your presence. All I want is your presence. All I want is your presence. All I want is you. So here I am. Once again, pouring my love on you. Here I am, once again, pouring my love on you. Will you sing that with me? All I want. All I want is your presence. All I want is your presence. All I want is your presence. All I want is you. sing that again, oh. And all I want is your presence. All I want is your presence. All I want is your presence. Just one more time with your heart. Oh, all I want is your presence. All I want is your presence. All I want is your presence. All I want is you. Here I am. Oh, here I am once again, pouring my love on you. Yeah, here I am. Once again, pouring my love on you. Here I am. Once again, pouring my love on you. Here I am once again, pouring my love on you. Amen. I remember we ministered in Brazil. That's not almost a month ago, in this little town in Brazil called Cascavel. And we were ministering at a church weekend. And the whole church was gathered for the weekend. Elmar, a decompression of your mic is the whole bio. So we were ministering, and the Friday evening they had worship, and they had a guy teaching there. And so the first thing I look at when ministering into a church, I look at kind of the worship, because it's what I do. And so I was looking at the worship, and the band was going for it, but the people were just kind of standing and staying in their seats. And it's really a lack of zeal and a lack of passion and a lack of just commitment in ministering unto the Lord. And so the whole Friday night finished, and I was praying, Lord, what do you want to do this Saturday morning? It was my time to share and teach. And I felt the Lord speaking to my heart, and he said to me, minister into their hunger for the presence of Jesus. And so the Saturday morning, we didn't do worship. I said, we'll do worship a little bit later. And I started speaking about a hunger for the presence of Jesus again. You know, a zeal, a violent hunger, a passion to encounter the beauty of Jesus and to encounter his presence. And for some reason that morning, the Lord was there. His presence just came in as I spoke. And I could feel and sense his anointing. And I almost took 2 hours of just teaching into this. And the anointing got stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And about 2 hours into it, I said, I feel we need to worship. And they stood to their feet, and I said, no. I'm going to show you a new way of doing it. And so I invited them to the front. And I said, everyone. And so, you know when you do something new in church? I just kept knocking on their door until I got the whole church in the front. And I just started going for it in worship. And the glory of Jesus fell. And they started weeping and weeping and crying out for the presence of Jesus. They did that for about 2 hours. They couldn't stop. They just kept on going and going and going. At one stage, I was off the stage. I was drinking water. And they didn't even realize. They were just going and going and going for the presence and the beauty of Jesus. And so the Friday night, I was doing the worship and teaching again. And when I said, we're going to worship, they all stood from the chairs and they ran to the front. Lifted their hands, started singing in the spirit. And I don't think we came to the teaching that night. We were just ministering to the Lord for about 2 to 3 hours, just ministering to the heart of God. That congregation till this day, when they hear the word worship, they get out of their seats and they run to the front. The Lord changed the way that congregation engages their heart in worship in one meeting. One meeting. They will never be the same. They wept when we left because of just the tremendous impact that the Spirit of the Lord had in that weekend. And that was one of the highlights for me in Brazil. The other thing that I spoke a little bit about this, but we were ministering at a youth conference. There was about 500 of youth there from around Brazil. And the Saturday morning, again, for some reason, the Saturday morning, I had two guys just sharing a little bit of a testimony. And as they were speaking, I could feel the presence of Jesus coming in. You could feel it. You could sense it. You could see it on the 500 faces that were sitting. And I was thinking, they asked me to share something, but I felt the anointing so strongly upon the meeting. And so when they finished the testimony, they looked at me and I took the mic and I started singing Jesus, just His name. Jesus. And we went and sang it in Portuguese. And then what happened was they sang His name for almost an hour and a half. They couldn't stop. It was like wave upon wave upon wave. Whenever we wanted to stop, they will continue, and then vice versa. And suddenly those who were fighting suicidal thoughts came running to the front, started weeping, repenting. They just came from the crowd, just fell on their faces and wept and wept and wept and declaring their sin and declaring all these things publicly, audibly in the presence of Jesus. That little meeting in Brazil wounded me, I think, for eternity. I wish I could show you 500 faces, not a dry eye in the house, just weeping. Singing the name of Jesus as loud as they can for an hour and a half. Just hungry to encounter the heart of God. And you know, it's in times like those where you realize how much of a familiarity has climbed into us as a people, or so easily can, that we gather like this on a Sunday morning and we leave, and it was just like, this is what we kind of do, but we did it without a violent hunger to encounter Jesus together. And I've been praying against that spirit of apathy and familiarity in my own heart. I don't want apathy on me. I don't want familiarity on me. Beloved, His presence is a gift. And we hold it so lightly. You know? I was thinking the book of Malachi, the book of the fallen priesthood, where the heart of God was so wounded by a priesthood who brought defiled sacrifices to the altar. They defiled the altar with sacrifices that weren't meant to come on the altar. You know, blind lambs, etc., etc., etc. And it wounded the heart of God. How many times we gather to worship and we bring 50%, 60%. Oh, we don't sing here. We don't like that. We don't. Oh, man. I pray that the fear of the Lord will return to the church again. And it's in meetings like that, you know, where you sing an hour and a half, just His name, and it's enough. It's not even a song. It's just His name. It's enough. And you get from that context, and you sometimes walk into a church service, like in Russia, we had many of those, and you hardly get people to sing, I love you, Jesus. And the real is the why. Why? We complicate Christianity so much, you know. Our opinion, we sometimes want our opinion to be heard more than our worship. And when I look at the cross and I look at the man on the throne, I'm thinking, man, I just want to love him with all my heart. Why has it become so complicated? An issue with this and an issue with that, an issue with this, an issue with that. Man, Lord, save us from our stupidity and make us lovers of God again. You know? It was in Brazil. Remember when I came and spoke to you guys last? We had the little Elvis chorus. I wonder if I could throw Delia on the spot. Take my heart, take my whole life too, 'cause I can't help falling in love with you. Do you remember that? So when, for those who didn't know the story, when I came into Brazil, we were praying and seeking the face of Jesus, and we had a little soaking album going at the back, and this guy started singing this little Elvis chorus, and it climbed into my heart. I know, right? It's just strange, but it did. And we sang that little Elvis chorus in Brazil the whole way. When we started singing that, tears will just come. Whether they understood English or not, tears would just come. Falling in love with Jesus again. The worst thing that could ever happen to you in your Christian walk is a falling out of love with Jesus. Falling out of love with Him. And, well, in Russia, I don't know. I don't think they like Elvis very much. He didn't fly in Russia. But it flew in Brazil. I saw the first time I did it. These Russians aren't catching on to the falling in love thing. You know? And that was interesting. It's two different nations, man. So I just came from Russia. I flew back on Wednesday evening. And it was strange. I didn't plan to go to Russia, but I was kind of forced to go. Not against my will, but asked to go politely. But now looking back, I understood why. There's no presence of the Father in that nation. Fathers are distant, most distant alcoholics. There's no kissing, cuddling, holding, playing with children. You don't see that anywhere. And in most of the churches we ministered in, the concept of God being an Abba Father with loving arms and a loving heart, it's so distant in their minds and hearts. And so we ministered in this little church in Omninsk, I think it's what it's called, a little town. And I remember there came a young girl in, and just rebellion is all over. And there came a young girl in, but I could see in her heart she didn't want to be there. I don't know how you can see it, but you can see it kind of. She came in with her mom, and on her t-shirt, she was, I guess, probably 18, 19, 20. On her t-shirt, she had written, "I am perfect." And so she was setting herself up for a prophetic word. She just didn't know it when she put on the t-shirt, right? So I'm standing there, and this little girl comes in, "I am perfect." And as I look at her, I just see her heart. And the meeting starts, and they give the mic to me, and I look at that little girl, and I say, "Hey, I feel the Lord has a word for you." Yes, the one with the t-shirt that says, "I am perfect." And she kind of gets a shock, and he says, "Why do you hate everything about you?" She started weeping. And the second thing I heard the Lord saying is, "And so why are you planning to take your own life so soon?" She started weeping more. And the presence of the Father just came in. It's like the Lord was waiting to run into Russia with His Father's heart. And I'm ministering to this girl, But the whole room starts crying. Everyone. It's the presence of the Father. And I just started sharing on the Father heart of God. And how He loves, and the Father of mercy, and the Father of kindness, and the Father is full of love. And I spoke about the embrace and the kisses, and I told them that story. I told that story so many times in this congregation, but I mean, it's one of those, I could never be the same. Remember, I spoke to you about, I was ministering in a high school about 2 years ago on the Father heart. And then after the meeting, I said, who wants me to pray for them for the Father heart wound, or just to be touched by the love of God? And this whole queue of students ended up, we prayed, I don't know for how long, but the last one in the queue was this tall boy. I mean, touching over 2 meters. And you can see that I wasn't in front of the queue when they gave length. And so he comes, stands at me, and he looks down at me like this. I'm fitting him about right here. And so I look up and he looks down, and I said to him, what can I pray? Can I pray for you for anything? And he looks at me and he said, no, I just want you to hold me. I've never been held by a father. I don't know what it feels like. I just want you to hold me. And so now I hold him like my head here, right? Like this. And he is now over me like that, and he starts weeping, and he cries that whenever I wanted to let go, he would hold me and say, don't let go. And I left wet because the tears came down for almost, I don't know, 30 minutes. It just said, hold me. Just hold me. It was part of the mission of Jesus, was to reveal this Father. It was so far from the minds of the Pharisees. They just couldn't see Him. He was so veiled to them. Jesus says, let me tell you a story about my Father. No, He's the one running. He's the one kissing. He's the one embracing. And we ministered in another church in St. Petersburg. And the same. I wasn't meant to speak. There was another guy. They just kind of gave me the mic because I think they felt like, the visitor needs to say something. And I had like a couple of minutes, and I felt like I'm going to use it to speak about the Father. I mean, I don't want to say anything about South Africa. I want them to encounter the Father. So if they give me three, I'm going to give it my best 3 minutes. And so they gave me the mic, and I started sharing about how much you are loved by the Father. And the same thing happened. We couldn't stop the meeting. The presence of the Father just came. Countless of lives just touched by the presence of the Father. They are so hungry for the voice of the Father. Whenever I say the Father is saying, just the tears start, boom, that whole meeting. May we never become so familiar with the presence of Jesus than what we have here. That our eyes are dry and our hearts are cold. May we burn again for Him. Amen. I'm going to take 15 minutes to share something with you, maybe less. But I felt like sharing out of these, touching the nations, turning churches and the way they worship, and ministering the heart of the Father into nations, and seeing young ladies who is planning their little suicide, and they're writing their suicide notes, and the Father comes in and He heals them. I wanted to speak to you about a ministry that I feel like is most probably the most neglected ministry in the church in this hour. And it's the ministry unto the Lord. Oh, the church have become great to ministering to people. There's hundreds of ministries to people. But the most neglected one of them all is the ministry unto the Lord. And I know we say, yeah, but we do everything for Him, right? But there's that ministry that's kept only for you, where you touch His heart and no one else can do that. And I want to speak a little bit into that and then go into worship. I want to read out of Acts 13, verse 2. And verse 1, it speaks of now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. They were waiting. And now verse 2, listen to this. as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And that little thing jumped out. This jumped out years ago for me. That little thing. They gathered the prophets, the teachers, the apostles. They were gathering. And then it makes, and as they ministered unto the Lord and fasting. There was a ministry unto the Lord. What is ministering unto the Lord? What is ministering to the Lord? What does that mean? It's that place in your life where your heart touches Him, where your love is poured upon His feet, where your song reaches Him, where your adoration is poured over His feet. That ministry of the priest where you stand before Him, you look at Him and you say, you are beautiful, you are lovely, you are holy, you are worthy. As they were ministering unto the Lord. Why do I say it's the most neglected ministry? I'm not going to ask you, but if I were to ask you this week, how many of you daily had this ministry going in your secret place? How many of you this week, every single day, you went and stood before Him, you lifted your hands and you, from your heart, you exploded with words, I love you, I want you, you're beautiful, I adore you, you're worthy. My bet will be few. But yet it's this ministry in the church that will unlock heaven. And so, I wanted to jump to another chapter. I wanted us to read out of 1 Samuel. And I'm rushing through this. We're going to get into worship. Listen to 3 Samuel verse 1. 1 Samuel 3 verse 1. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord. Again you see this phrase coming. Ministering to the Lord. Now the young boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And listen to this, and I want you to take notice of this. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. In the nation of Israel, God stopped speaking. He was silent for hundreds of years. No revelation of God in the nation whatsoever. God is on mute. He's not speaking to the nation of Israel. He's not speaking to the 12 tribes. Nothing. They spiritually are as dry as they have ever been as a nation. So I want you to take notice. So, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And then it says, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. So the Lord's, that is very significant. I wanted to jump to the end of chapter 3, verse 21. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. So here's the picture. Listen to this. Here's the picture. Eli and his sons, the high priest and his sons, they are no longer doing what they're supposed to do. They're defiling the altar. They're not worshiping. They're not praying. Here this little boy, Samuel, is brought to the temple by Hannah. And you find Samuel since the beginning ministering unto the Lord. The revelation of God, there's no widespread revelation. The voice of God is silent. But you have this picture of a little boy ministering unto the Lord. A little boy. Ministering to the Lord. And then we jump to this verse 21. And because of that little boy ministry, then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed Himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And now, 1 Samuel 4 verse 1. Listen to this. And the word of Samuel came to all in Israel. In other words, the word of the Lord was heard again in the nation. So here's the picture. Israel is dry. God is on mute. There's no revelation of God in the nation. One little boy is found faithful in his ministry. one little boy loves the heart of God. And in one chapter, only chapter 3, in one chapter, because of this little boy and his ministry unto the Lord, he releases widespread revelation into the heart of the nation again. The voice of God is heard in Israel after years and years of God not speaking. What unlocked this widespread revelation? What invited the voice of God to speak into the nation again? It's the little boy loving him. A little boy ministering to the Lord. I can see little Samuel. I mean, Samuel didn't have Bethel and Hillsong. I can see him just ministering from his heart. I love you. I love you, God. You're holy. You're worthy. I've heard the stories of your greatness, how you saved, how you redeemed, how you healed. You are worthy. I can see him doing that. And God says, there's one faithful in the house of the Lord, and I will once again speak to the nation of Israel. Here's the thing. There's a connection between a people who ministers to the heart of God and widespread revelation in the house of God. There's a connection between a people that have set their hearts to love Jesus and His face with everything in Him and the voice of God resounding in the midst of them. There's a connection. And here's what I believe with all my heart. We as a people, the more we stand before Him and the more we minister to Him, whether it's in your secret place or whether it is when we come together, the moment we hold that culture of loving His face, He speaks. He heals. He reveals. He breaks through. And you can see that in the life of King Jehoshaphat, right? 2 Chronicles 20, where armies have gathered against Israel. And they don't know what to do. So they fasted, they waited, and the Lord said, go war. And King Jehoshaphat does this weird thing. He consults the people, and then he calls the singers, the Levites. And I want you to read this with you. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those, listen, who should sing to the Lord. Not war, not prophesy, not to sing. In other words, he's speaking about those who will minister unto the Lord. And who should praise the beauty of His holiness. Sing and praise. As they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for His mercies endures forever. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set an ambush against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. You know what I love about this? I love verse 22. Now when they began to sing and praise. I want to ask you, are you singing in your battle? Are you praising in your stormy season, in your dry season? Is your voice being heard before the throne in praise? This, beloved, let me tell you, if you know anything about war, this is not how you go to battle. You don't put the singers in front of the army, because the singers most probably are the creative ones. I don't know if they know so much about battle and fight and war. I mean, they write lyrics and are creative. Surely you put your strongest army in front to go against three nations. But Jehoshaphat had a revelation in his heart. So he puts the singers. And then they're not even singing a song that will get the army guys excited like war songs. They're singing a little love song. You are good and your mercies endures forever. And before they even took their first step to that battle, the enemy was defeated when they began to sing. That ministry unto the Lord brings widespread revelation. God, who is enthroned upon the praises of His people. Are you still with me? So I want to almost conclude, come to the end with this. This is how I feel about it. Give me a prophetic ministry and I will give you 200 prophetic ministries. Give me a healing ministry and I will give you another 200 healing ministries. Give me a teaching ministry and I will give you 500 other teaching gifts. Give me one evangelist and I will give you 1,000. And all these ministries are good. But this one ministry that if you don't do it, it doesn't get done. And that is your ministry unto the Lord. If you do not stand before Him today and say, from my heart, I love you, it doesn't get done today. If you don't stand before Jesus today with a heart that says, I want to love you, you are worthy, no one can do it for you today. Only you can walk in this ministry that the Lord has given you. It cannot be replaced by any other ministry. There's no one else. It's just you. And there's a hunger in the heart of God for a people who will come and stand before Him and say, we love you. We love your presence. We love you, God. We are those remnant who sings to our battles, who praises through our stormy seasons. We are those people who take from our sleep to stand before you and say, we love you. Wake up early mornings and late nights. We are those people who stay when others go just to say, we love you. And so let me end with what I started with by saying, I believe with all my heart that this is the most neglected ministry in the church today. And so if there's a question in your heart, where is the widespread revelation of God? Where is the voice of God? It's not the question you should be asking. The question that you should be asking, where are the lovers? Where is the church, the saints who have gathered to love Him in song? Who has come to minister to His heart? That's the question. Ministering unto the Lord. He's waiting. He's waiting. He's looking for a Samuel. You know that? He's just looking for a Samuel. One. One who loves Him with everything. And He shifts everything. And so I want to encourage you. As we go into the rest of this year. As we go into the rest of this day. Oh, beloved, that you would set your heart firm and that you would become one of those who stand before the presence of God. Who doesn't neglect the most important ministry you've been given. To love Him from your own heart. Do you remember Mary at the feet of Jesus? Judas is judging. Saying we could have used this money to start a ministry to the poor. And Jesus said, you will always have the poor with you. But you won't always have me with you, Judas. Let her be. Let her love me. Let her walk in this ministry that's in her heart. The ministry to love me with all her heart. Is that okay? Is that... So I want to pray that we would break free as Sunningdale AM. That we would break free from that apathy. And that we would break free from familiarity. And that we would once again have bright eyes and a hungry heart for the presence of Jesus. Know that He is here. Whether you feel it or not, it's not the point. We believe He's here. And He's waiting. There's an invitation to love Him. There's an invitation to love Him. You know that encounter is just a step away. It's a simple yes in your heart. That's all it is. And a going until you encounter. Until you break in and until you break through. But here's the thing, your reward is not your breakthrough. It's not your healing. It's not your what you've been praying for months. That's not your reward. Your reward is when you get His face. His face. It's looking for Samuels. So as we come to a close this morning, just in the Word, we're going to go into a time of just ministering unto the Lord. But for a moment, if you can close your eyes with